read God's word as we find it in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, reading at the beginning of the chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For if we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May God add his blessing to that reading of his holy word, and to his name be all the praise. We shall first, for a short time as we are able, we may consider words in the chapter read, Romans chapter 8, and reading again at verse 38. Romans chapter 8, reading again at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful portion of scripture. You will notice how the chapter begins, telling us that there is no condemnation for the Lord's people, until the chapter concludes, telling us there is no separation for the people of God, for the portion which they have. And there are many glorious truths in this chapter from beginning to end. Of course, the whole Word of God is precious to the child of God. The child of God has no desire to add to the Word of God, and the child of God has no desire to take away from the Word of God. Now the gospel facts, they are all centered in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The love of God is not toward his people in any other way except in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the security of the Church of Christ comes to light in a special way here, telling us there is no condemnation for them, and there is no separation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay any charge, anything, to the charge of God's elect? But first of all, we may begin with this persuasion and this list we have here. If we have the persuasion of Romans chapter 8 in spirit and in truth, then we are secure for time and for eternity. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They shall never perish. Now he begins with the greatest terror here, with death. Now death will touch every other union except the union which we have in this chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Death touches every union, the closest union which we may have in this world, when two become one flesh, and when the vows of marriage are taken, they are taken for as long as we live in this world, until death do us part. But even in that relationship, death is going to touch that union. And we should realize this evening that family life is only for this world, and that with us all the ties must break, and that all unions pertaining to this world, they are going to be severed at death. But the people described here, they are pronounced blessed when they died, because they are blessed in time, because they are blessed in a state of grace. Grace and glory cannot be separated, and for them death is the porter, as it were, that lets the believer into the upper house. To die is gain. Death cannot touch this union. God has loved his own with an everlasting love from all eternity. And when you consider the intercession of Christ, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Consider how blessed they are on the day of their death, because the love of God in Christ Jesus is the very essence of the gospel. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And if we have this persuasion this evening, in spirit and in truth, then there is a witness in the heavens concerning that. So that here we have, first of all, death, which touches every other union, but which cannot touch this union which the child of God has with the Savior. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then you come to nor life. Well, there are many trials and many afflictions connected with our life journey here. But the apostle is looking at whatever circumstances or trials or experiences which we may have upon life's journey. This cannot separate us from this love. Many waters cannot quench this love, neither can the floods drown it. And there are many things which threaten to separate us from this love, but it says nor life. So whatever is involved in your life journey in this world, whatever trials, whatever afflictions, they cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he comes to angels. Now there are different opinions regarding angels, because it is quite evident from the Word of God that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are heirs of salvation. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those that do him fear. And then we are told that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over sinners repenting. And we know from the Old Testament that the angels were very powerful, but many commentators maintain that evil angels are meant here rather than good angels. But as I said already, various commentators, they differ in their views on this word. But when you consider the interest which the angels have in the salvation of the believer, ministering spirits, encompassing them, and then there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over sinners repenting. Child of God, it doesn't matter what moment in time you truly repented. It doesn't matter what spot in the world you met with your Lord and Savior. This cannot happen without a witness being in the heavens concerning this joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner repenting. And how this lays emphasis on the fact, the value of one undying soul on the way to eternity. Now, what about yourself this evening? Can you look back on a certain time and on a certain spot in the world where you met with your Lord and with your Savior? Do you think concerning you this evening that there is a witness in the heavens concerning your salvation? And if this is true, then it is your duty and privilege to show forth whom you love and whom you serve, that you are married to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you know him as your Savior, and that death cannot touch that union, that life cannot touch that union, and that angels cannot touch that union. Then we have principalities and powers. And consider in the days of the covenanters, consider what principalities and powers were able to do. They were able to separate godly ministers from their flocks. They were able to separate godly ministers from their congregations, but they could not separate them from their Savior. And consider in every age what principalities and powers may be able to do, and yet they cannot touch this union because of this love with which the Lord has loved his own. Well, death breaks the closest link, but not this one. Well, They could not separate them from Christ, things present. Well, you know within yourself, in this large congregation, how varied things present may be. We know not what a day may bring forth, and the things present today may be so different from the things present tomorrow. And you know from your own experience what the things present may be. And perhaps the things present, perhaps you are unable to share them with anyone else in the world. Perhaps you are unable to share them with your brethren and sisters in the Lord. Perhaps concerning the things present, that you are afraid God's people may misunderstand the situation. But whatever the things present are this evening, you can share them with your Lord and Savior, and He will not misunderstand the situation. You remember the one who came to the Lord and said, "Lord, help me." You remember what things present meant to her, and especially to her daughter, and she was laying emphasis on mercy. You remember the trial of her faith, the silence of the Lord, and how the disciples misunderstood the situation, and they were asking the Lord to send her away. Well, things present, the sovereignty of God, in His providence and in His grace this evening, and how varied this situation may be in this house this evening, things present, how varied our needs may be, but whatever they are, you can look at things present if you are a child of God. And you can say that they cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The sovereign pleasure of God, how we see it here. How secure then the children of God are because of the merit, power, and intercession of Christ. How secure the Church of Christ is. Well, things present, nor things to come. And how often we think of things to come. And how often we may be afraid. How often we are questioning regarding the future. And how often we come to wrong conclusions concerning things present and also concerning things to come. But the child of God can look towards the future this evening and say, whatever things are to come in my experience, they cannot separate me from this love, from this union in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is able to separate me from this relationship. He has loved His own with an everlasting love, nor things to come. Well, child of God, this evening, you may be afraid of things to come. You may be afraid as you look into the unknown future, things to come. And whatever things are to come, grace and glory cannot be separated. Whatever things are to come, whatever experiences, and we were singing of the experience of God's people in these three Psalms. Not height. At certain times, God's people wonder what is more dangerous for them, to be in the heights or to be in the depths.
And both situations have their own danger. But the apostle is saying here, not hide. Consider Daniel. Consider his elevated position. Consider his height. And yet that did not separate him from this love. Consider his depth in the den of the lions. And consider the height and the depth of the Church of Christ. In every age, we have that in Psalm 107. Well, not height nor depth. This is what we are told here. Height or depth. They are enclosed in the arms of the everlasting love of God. We must remember that God loves his own unchangeably. This is my friend, the church is saying in the song. It's a privilege to have a faithful friend who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has loved his own with an unchangeable love, so that whatever heights we experience and whatever depths we experience, this cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Daniel in the heights, Daniel in the depths, the child of God in every age, in the heights and in the depths. Well, whatever it may be, no created thing can separate the children of God from this love. There is no condemnation for them, and there is no separation. And the apostle is saying, nor any other creature, as if he was saying concerning this list, perhaps I have forgotten some power, perhaps I have forgotten some creature, and I better add these few words, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, how secure the children of God are. And perhaps we do not think often enough of the intercession of Christ. Perhaps we do not think often enough of John chapter 17. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Surely we believe that that is going to be fulfilled. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Well, have you got this persuasion? This persuasion. Someone was asked, of what persuasion are you in hospital? And of course they meant which denomination, which church. And the person asked the question was a Christian. And he said, I am of the persuasion of Romans chapter 8. Well, this is the persuasion we need. He was fully assured, for I am persuaded. He was fully assured concerning this fact, and that is evident from the glorious truths which we have in this chapter, telling us that all things work together for good to them that love God. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And you may think of other unions which have been severed in your experience by death. You may dwell on memories of days that have been, with an aching void in your heart and in your home. And you have at this experience how death does touch every union pertaining to this world. With us all the ties must break then. It's a solemn thought that death touches every union except this union. And this union, how glorious it is, they shall be brought with gladness great and mirth on every side into the palace of the King, and there they shall abide. What a glorious chapter then at the beginning, and for the same reason to them which are in Christ Jesus. It is for that very reason that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is for that very reason that there is no separation from their Savior. Death cannot touch that union, nor light, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There are many who are united to the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world this evening. They are unable to assemble as we do for fear of their lives. They are persecuted for the sake of Christ, and consider that will never separate them from this love, whatever they suffer, because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live a life of faith on the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In Christ Jesus, O Lord, this is the union. I have come that ye might have life. The supreme demonstration of God's love on the cross of Calvary, and God's sovereign will and pleasure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, do you marvel at God's love for you, who loved me and gave himself for me? As the converted Negro said, him die, me no die. Because I live, ye shall live also. And how you can rejoice this evening, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have experienced this love, if you have experienced this union, if you have been loved by God from all eternity, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Well, if you have this persuasion, then you can look at death. You can look at life. You can look at angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. There is nothing left out here. What a list we have here. And you can think of all this and say, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Not any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, this is the only way. The love of God is not toward you in any other way. It must be toward you in this manner, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The love of God in Christ is the very essence of the glorious gospel. And it doesn't matter which things threaten to separate us, they cannot do this. And if this persuasion is in your heart this evening, born by the Spirit of God, consider your blessedness. Death, as it were, the portal that lets the believer in to the upper house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and the upper house is filling up. According to the command of God, his word is being fulfilled. Christ comes and gathers his own lilies. Father, I will. And how wonderful that should be, that the Lord Jesus Christ would have a desire concerning us to be with him throughout all eternity. Do you marvel at his love? Do you marvel at the demonstration of his love? Do you marvel that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? God made manifest in the flesh the great mystery which is connected with this, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus Christ should have a nature capable of being wounded on my behalf. He was wounded for our iniquities. Consider then how wonderful that is when you consider who he was and when you consider where you were and the state you were in. Who is able to describe the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? The love of God which goes up to his throne in the heavens and reacheth down to our greatest need. Well, child of God, journey on in the strength of the Lord with this persuasion. This comfort belongs to you, and consider the doctrines and the comforts and the truths we have in Romans chapter 8. As I said already, the whole Word of God is precious to the child of God from Genesis to Revelation. But in every generation, the Church of Christ derived comfort from this chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How glorious and secure then the gospel is. How glorious and secure the Church of Christ is. How glorious and secure the child of God is. In every generation, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he knoweth them in love from all eternity. He knoweth them individually, and he knoweth them collectively. And perhaps the things present in your experience this evening, perhaps the things present are that you are burdened concerning your duty and privilege because you have a witness in your heart that this persuasion belongs to you. You have a witness in your heart and conscience that there is therefore no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. You have a witness in your heart and in your life and in your conscience that you have this persuasion implanted in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, we are in this world for a very short time. We know not what a day may bring forth. We have such a short time in the world to witness for our Lord and Savior. And what a glorious privilege it is then. This is eternal love, the love of God towards us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Eternal love, what a mysterious union that I should be united to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious union, what an eternal union, for I am persuaded that neither death, the greatest terror of all, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. The blessedness of God's children comes to light then in this chapter and in these words. What about ourselves this evening? The love of God in Christ Jesus, the very essence of the gospel. Have you got this persuasion then in your own heart this evening? Can you truly read this from your own experience? There are mysteries and dangers connected with life's journey. There are so many things, perhaps, regarding the things present, you are unable to understand. There are many fears concerning things to come. You are experiencing the heights and the depths, but no creature, nor any other creature, as if the apostle was saying, perhaps I have left something out. Perhaps I have left some power out. But no other creature then shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. They shall never perish. Are you numbered among God's children? Are you praying to God that we may have a feasting time? Are you praying to God that we may have a banquet? Are you praying to God that we may have a foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb? For if we are at Christ's table here, in spirit and in truth, that cannot be separated from the marriage supper of the Lamb. Grace and glory cannot be separated. The foundation of the Lord then standeth sure. No condemnation, no separation. Let us pray. Gracious God, thou knowest our needs individually and collectively. Thou art the chief and great shepherd of thine own flock, and thou dost guide them in a right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Thou art the way, and thou art their guide, even unto death. Thou art the great physician, thou art the remedy itself. Remember thy children here. Thou, O Lord, knowest their needs, and thy servant could say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Remember those who may be exercised in their minds and hearts in connection with their profession in this world. To thou encourage those who are in a state of grace to show forth to the world whom they love and whom they serve. Remember those who are without Christ. We pray that there may be joy in the presence of the angels of God over sinners repenting during this communion season. Prepare us for the coming days, for without thee we can do nothing. Grant that we may look unto thee for strength and for grace. Bless thy servants who will proclaim on the morrow the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do thou grant each one of them liberty of the gospel and unction from on high. Dismiss us with thy blessing this evening. Bring us safely to our respective places of abode, and abide with us there. For we know not what a day may bring forth, and pardon sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 9. I in the land of those that live will walk the